This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Wes, Happy New Year, man. How we doing?
Fine, Pack. Hope you had a great one. Good to be with you as we get started on another week. And plenty to go here on the program today.
We have guests during the Power Hour, which we will get to momentarily. We have some football to address. We have a lot of basketball to address. We have other stuff to address, like New Year's resolutions. Again, Happy New Year to everybody watching and listening. You survived. Thank goodness, the end of the 21 calendar year. Like I said on Friday's show, I was ready to flush it, and I did. And so we're off to a wellness program in 22, Wes. I already feel like $1 million. I already feel like $1 million.
Okay. Like $1 million. You feel like $1 million already.
I already feel better.
And you're three days in.
That's right. I'm three days in. I have walked 3 miles every day. I did not have a single sip of alcohol, no bourbon, not a drop, not a cube. I had no desserts because I love my sweets, not a single one. So Wellness Program 22 is off and rolling. And I did it yesterday in the rain. Cranked up, got my little ear pods there, cranking up some Stones, little AC/DC, 3 miles in the rain yesterday, Wes. I am dedicated to getting this thing straightened out. Feeling better in 22. That's the deal.
It's at some point you're gonna be in the market for one of those high end exercise treadmill style elliptical deal walking.
Hey, let's not get carried away. All right, we're just 3 days into it. You got to walk before you run.
How about a membership?
I am already a member. How about that, big man?
Okay.
How about that? Okay. Yeah, I am not giving you lip service. I am going to do this in 22. It's my deal in 22.
Nice.
It is my New Year's resolution. Okay. I'm going to do this. Sick and tired of feeling lousy.
All right. Well, speaking of New Year's resolutions, that's one of our themes today. 844-SAY-ACCN. What's your New Year's resolution for your school? Is it already clear what your New Year's resolution is going to be, or is it one of hope? We'll get to some of those. We've already got a few off social media. Don't forget, you can look tag us at ACC Network. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham this morning. If you want to hit Mark and me, that's fine, too, as we move into this month of January. We probably need to start with Wake Forest finishing a little bit in style here as the highlight of the weekend, just from the standpoint that we – anticipate the Deacons might be in a good spot to do so in Jacksonville the other day. In fact, they did, and it was good to see for Dave Clawson and Wake Forest to finish their strong and dispatch Rutgers at the Taxpayer Gator Bowl.
Not surprised. They should have done exactly what they did, and that is we're better than you, and they were. Wake takes care of business, an 11-win season. Really remarkable job by Dave Clawson, his staff, the players. The city of Winston-Salem, which got behind them, is just a great, great feel-good story. They win the Atlantic Division. They take care of business. And I was just thankful they found a team, Wes, after watching some of these bowl games that looked like some folks just didn't care about being there. Rutgers really cherished the opportunity at 5-7, and they put up a fight for about a half. But at the end of the day, Wake was simply too good. And again, they did what they were supposed to do. And that is close the deal. And speaking of closing, the ACC finishes up the bowl season 2-4. No disrespect, NC State fans. We're talking about games that took place. With four games not taking place involving Boston College and Virginia and NC State in Miami. I will tell you, in the bowl business, Wes, I thought the league would be better. And we thought we were going to play 10 games. We only played six. 2-4, I thought would be I thought the league would be better, quite frankly. However, Clemson's win was important because it extended the 10 wins or more to 11 consecutive years, which is incredible. Wake's win was fantastic to match the 11 of all time. I know NC State wanted that one more to truly get over the top, but they're taking credit and ownership of the Holiday Bowl because they do have the hardware and they're counting it for 10. But there were some disappointments in the bowl season, I think, from the league's perspective. I'm still surprised that North Carolina got woodshedded by South Carolina. That one was one of the – that to me, of all the 700 games that have been played, That one will go down right. for me as one of the three or four biggest surprises of the entire bowl season, how lifeless North Carolina was in the Mayo Bowl. But at the end of the day, there were some positives. And, you know, I think there's a lot of teams that are going to take ownership of what they did accomplish in 21 and look at 22 and go, you know what? We got the building blocks of having a really, really big year. And I think Wake Forest jumps out at you. Clemson, obviously. I think NC State, mm-hmm. with what they've got coming back, should be great. And I think if you're a Miami fan, bummed out that you didn't get a chance to see the bowl game, because after watching Washington State wallow around in El Paso, I think Miami would have lit them up like a wow. Christmas tree. But I think there's four, five, mm-hmm. six teams in the league, given what they've got coming back, that expect 22 to really be a big year.
Yeah, I think Carolina and Virginia Tech, and I get the whole interim situation that was there with J.C. Price and the transition in staffs and some guys already opting out, and you had to start the game with Connor Blumrick because Braxton Burmeister was in the portal and all this. But I still just – I mean, if Maryland is going to be that Maryland, then they're going to be somebody in the Big Ten next year. But on the whole, I expected Virginia Tech to compete because that's what they had done previously with J.C. Price pack.
Wes, if you don't have a quarterback, I've been saying this for 100 years. If your quarterback play is average at best,
right.
there's only so much right. you can do. In Virginia Tech, you had 13 guys on the two deep in their last game against Virginia that were not eligible to play, whether it be illness, mm-hmm. transfer, opt out, dog ate my homework, whatever.
Right.
So they went in there, I thought, really with both hands tied behind their back. I mean, you take your two best yeah. wide receivers and your starting quarterback away, and you've got also a new football coach, and going through that transition, that's tough. I don't care who you are. So,
yeah.
you know, my expectation level for Virginia Tech in that game wasn't very high. Now, did they get waxed? They did. But, you know, I think if you're Virginia Tech, you're back to the drawing board. You know, Brent Pry is going to come in there and say, guess what? There's a new sheriff in town, and here's how we're going to do it. So, you know, I think that he understands mm-hmm. what he's got to build a foundation to move from there. But I think there's other teams in the league, for me, sitting here on January the 3rd, that I have higher expectations for in 22 than Virginia Tech.
All right. So tell me where you are. 2-4, and four didn't get teed up, okay? So who changed your mind for 22 by their bowl performance?
Nobody.
Let's go that route.
Nobody. Because yeah, okay. Wake's got everybody and their brother back. I think they only lose six starters off this year's team. I expect them to win in the bowl. They did. Dave Clawson has really built a tremendous program. He gets all the credit in the world. I was curious to see how Clemson was going to respond, given that Brent Venables is gone, Tony Elliott is gone.
Right.
You figured it was going to be a rock'em sock'em, old-school, low-scoring defensive game. It was. Fascinating to see right. in the spring the Cade Klubnik DJ Uiagalelei competition, because if you don't think that's not going to be a competition, you're nuts. And, you know, if Clemson's quarterback play improves in 22, they're going to be filthy good. I mean, they got a bunch of young dudes they had to play. I think Dabo said he had 30 scholarship players that couldn't go or were not available for that game, and they mm-hmm. still won the game right. against Iowa State. So they didn't surprise me at all. They won the game they were supposed to. Like I said, I think Miami and NC State, we didn't see them in the bowls, but I really like what they've got coming back. New coach at Miami will energize their fan base. I think Dave Dorn has built a really, really solid program. And the announcement of guys that are coming back, including Devin Leary at quarterback, NC State's one of those teams. I thought they had a great opportunity to kind of showcase what they've got in store for 22 in the Holiday Bowl. That's why I was sick that they didn't get a chance to play, because that was a missed opportunity for the rest of the country. But for folks that follow NC State and in this league, I think you know they're going to be really, really right. good. Pittsburgh is going to be intriguing too, right? The Kenny Pickett era is over between Slovis and the transfer and what you had to see in their second and third string quarterbacks in the Peach Bowl. And they're up 21-10 on Michigan State. They've got their entire offensive line coming back. They'll still have some creatures and dudes on the defensive side. They will be the defenders, so that will be different for them. I'm kind of intrigued to see what Tony Elliott does at Virginia. Brennan Armstrong is back. I know they've had a lot of opt-outs and transfers, so let's see what happens on that front. Florida State, Mike Norvell really did a nice job in the second half of the season. How do the Noles bounce back and take it to the next level?
Right.
They use the second half of the season as kind of a catalyst. The recruiting class is extremely good, so that's kind of intriguing to see. I think Jeff Collins is going to feel some heat in Atlanta. It's time to win. after what he's now done there after, you know, 3-3-3-3. They're expecting more. They open with Clemson in the Dome, which will be good luck. I'm fascinated to see what Mac Brown does. I think they were the biggest disappointment in college football, in my opinion, in 21. Preseason top 10, finish sub 500. I mean, with Sam Howell, can't do that. Sam, of course, is going to the NFL. But North Carolina's got dudes. I mean, they got players. Plus, they've got the top recruiting class in the conference coming in for the spring. So how does Mac Brown try to turn that thing around, which would be fascinating? So, again, I think there's terrific storylines all over the place. I mean, what does Louisville do, right? The team of mystery. Yeah. You know, they could be with Malik Cunningham back. Man, he's so dynamic. I know they got pushed around and couldn't stop Air Force throwing the football, go figure. But there'll be another team I think that could be a thorn inside. So I think there's cool storylines all over the place, not to mention the four new coaches in the league as far as head coaches go.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very interesting era. And you mentioned Sam Howell. Ike Ekwonu declared over the weekend for the NFL draft. Those guys are – Ekwonu especially is the number one guard on Todd McShay's NFL mock draft right now. I suspect he'll be the number one interior guard-center combination. We'll see how that plays out. Linderberg of Iowa, I think, could be the number one tackle in many of these mock drafts. But nonetheless, Ike Ekwonu won't be sitting there long on opening night next April. And I feel the same for Sam Howell. I think his productivity aside and the success of the team, it's going to be interesting in combines and things like that. I think Sam Howell will flourish. It'll be really interesting to watch him go through that process, as it will be dozens of other ACC guys that we're going to follow as that kind of season begins, if you will, the evaluation season of college into the NFL. We mentioned these resolutions, and before we get to break here, I want to share a couple with you, Pac. We got a couple already on Twitter at the ACC Network. Bill Likens has said for all the FSU programs to get healthy, stay healthy, and play every game on your schedule, win or lose. Now, man, would I share that with a lot of people right now, given what we've been through with college basketball in the last 2 weeks.
How about everyone, Florida State and everyone else for that matter? And it's going to be, hey, I think we all kind of understand this college basketball season moving forward is going to be hit and miss. But Bill is spot on. I mean, knock on wood that we can turn the page in 22 and kind of get to the finish line with all these sports and everybody stay healthy for sure.
Yeah. Dirty Bird says Miami football, getting rid of external motivation and putting away the chains and rings. Wow. What's the full change?
Well, we talked to Coach Cristobal about his favorite walk-up music, and he said, I don't like that, all that external. I don't need that. I know. I'm just going to go play football.
Yeah, so there you go.
I don't know. They are going to be a big storyline, though, in the spring and summer. Because when you've got the old TVD back there slinging it, and you got Cristobal, and again, I know that fan base is excited. Dan Radakovich, the new AD, rolling down there, taking care of business.
Oh, yeah.
There is a renewed enthusiasm for Miami football, and when you've got a guy under center who can make plays, you know what? You got to have that guy, and Miami does. So I'm kind of excited about Miami in 22.
Jeannie chimes in here this morning, her resolution for NC State baseball. We're going to check with number 9 here in a couple weeks, I bet, as the season gets cranked up. To get back to Omaha and not get, oh, my shafted.
And, you know, the baseball gods, quite frankly, owe one to NC State. They really do. And you know what? You know how much I love baseball. I can't wait for spring. Yeah. I cannot wait to watch college baseball. I love it.
We welcome your calls, 844-SAY-ACCN, on your resolution for your team as we start the month of January. So Packer and Durham is underway on this opening week of 2022. When we come back on this Monday, we dive into the weekend in basketball. Tar Heels laid the wood in Chestnut Hill, and Louisville scored another huge road win last night in Atlanta. But we've got a theme developing, and it's going to get interesting in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Hoops is next on P&D.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. 2022. Where is the time gone? 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, we give a little football. We got more of that coming up later on. Now it's time for some hoops, Mr. Durham. And, boy, there was a thriller last night in your backyard. I mean, a thriller.
Can I just share with you, can I give you the overriding statement here first, and then we'll dive into details? I put this on the Twitters last night for you. So far in the ACC, there have been 17 conference games on the men's side, right? The home team is 7-10, but nine, and this is my theme now, okay? Nine of the 17 conference games have been five or less, Pack. Nine of them.
Well,
I mean,
when you have when you have Duke at the top, and we've talked for 2 weeks about, okay, do accounting. I mean, why would they not be competitive games? I mean, we're waiting for somebody to separate, right? And maybe.
Sure.
Maybe. I know it's early. We're starting to see some signs of life. And I go to the game I just mentioned to you in Atlanta last night. Georgia Tech and Louisville. Yeah. The defenders taking on a Cards team. Now that Malik Williams is back, a little different story when you watch Louisville play.
Well, I think here's the thing, too. And Chris Mack, who you know took some fire early when he returned to the bench because of kind of the chemistry and the rotations and all these things. Last night, Louisville looked like a team that could go a long way. Part of it had to do with Jared West and how good he was defensively against Michael DeVoe. Malik Williams, though, to your point, is healthy, and there's the star for the Cards. 9 of 12 from the floor last night, 20 points, 10 rebounds. I thought Dre Davis was really good with 13. There's Williams with the little old-school skyhook. Noah Locke also had 10. Matt Cross had 13 and 9 last night for the Cards, who win in Atlanta by 3. And better than that, do a tremendous job on DeVoe. Mm-hmm. Michael DeVoe frustrated all night long by Jared West. And I thought West was really, really good defensively last night. In fact, he kind of caught my eye as one of the better on-ball defenders I've seen so far in conference play.
And Louisville gets Pittsburgh at home Wednesday, and they will be a big favorite there to go to 4-0 in league play. Again, the one thing we keep emphasizing to all ACC fans, we know how good Duke is, even though they haven't played in a while. Who is going to emerge and start to be able to put together and string together wins, go a couple weeks without a loss, is really going to be the storyline on the men's side. And this is going to be true for January and February. So, you know, Miami, which we'll talk about here in a second. Louisville's off to a pretty good start on that front. Just keep your eye on these teams. North Carolina, which we'll talk to about here in a second, destroyed Boston College. So I'm kind of intrigued to see who's going to kind of take some ownership here early and start going, guess what? We are an upper half, maybe an upper tier team in the league.
Right. Georgia Tech, by the way, who has yet to post a conference victory, 0-2 after last night. Remember, they lost at home to Carolina. They're at Duke tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, right here on ACC Network. Let's go to Chestnut Hill. Carolina got 22 from Caleb Love. Tar Heels led early. They led often, and they led significant margins and ended up winning by 26, 91-65. The final at Chestnut Hill. I didn't see any particular remarks from Hubert Davis along these lines, but I got to believe might have been Carolina's best performance start to finish all year long. Caleb Love, fantastic. Baycott, another double-double. Just mark it down, Pack. He's going to walk with double-doubles all year long. Carolina missed their first seven shots from the floor. Then they went 9 of 13. They shot 47% in the first half and had four players in double figures by the break. They led by 29 at halftime yesterday at BC.
Time to walk the dog. You're up 29.5, walking the dogs. That's what it was. But you know what? You win on the road, you take it, you move on down and say, guess what? Heels are two up, zero in the loss column. That Kentucky game's rearview mirror. Everybody has a bump in the wall. I mean, everybody has a bump in the road where you just kind of go, hey, it wasn't our night. But you know what? I go back to that Michigan game, and that was followed up with a road trip to Georgia Tech that week. I thought changed North Carolina because I saw what they did defensively. Again, they're still putting up points, which is great. But BC, I mean, they had no answer. I mean, that was see you later, catch you, bye, yeah. Good night.
Eagles had not played since December 13th. They shot only 17% in the first half, 31% for the ball game.
Ugly.
They made 8 of 28 from 3. That's not going to do it. No, that's way too many. You got to hit more if you're going to shoot that many.
No, that was ugly. And there's going to be a lot of
Carolina's
teams
won 7 straight.
There's going to be a lot of teams knocking the rust off, Wes, given these delays and so forth. And, you know, you throw the holidays in between all that. You know what? Some teams just look like they're in slow motion. BC looked that way yesterday for sure. Yep.
Let's go back to Saturday. Miami beat Wake Forest 92-84 at Watsco Center in Coral Gables. Isaiah Wong, 25. Charlie Moore, 18. Miami's won 7 straight. The Hurricanes made half of their 18 three-point attempts and converted 19 of 27 at the free throw line. You want to win, it's a pretty good way to do it. They're 3-0 in the ACC for the first time since 2013, when Shane Larkin, Kenny Kaji, and the rest of the Hurricanes, Julian Gamble, found their way to Atlanta and the regular season and tournament title. Alondis Williams was second in the league in scoring when coming into the ball game. He was 6 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3 in the loss. Miami and Syracuse is Wednesday. Pack.
I know this much. We talked to Jim Larranaga last week, and we talked about his guards.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, in fact, I think you asked him the question about Isaiah Wong not having to score. And Coach gushed about how many guys have stepped up in the backcourt and have delivered. And you look at what Miami's doing. If you don't have good guards, you can't win, man. Miami's guard play has been fantastic. And maybe this is the team, Wes. This is like we keep talking about. Who is going to emerge and have some separation? Now, I know Miami's played all these games at home, but guess what? They've held serve, which is more than some teams can say. And they're going to get, again, their game coming up this week with Syracuse, same deal. So I think if you're a Miami Hurricane fan, you're kind of cautiously optimistic that, number one, can you stay healthy? Because the last couple of years, nobody in college basketball has been more beat up than the Miami Hurricanes. Jim Larranaga is an outstanding coach, and when you've got really good guards, you can make stuff happen. And right now, that's exactly what Miami's doing.
Let's go to the standings here real quick. We'll get to the rest of the weekend on the other side here. I want to dive into these standings, though, because Pac's already told you the four schools at the top. Duke has only played the one game against Virginia Tech. Remember, Georgia Tech tomorrow night, part of a four-game slate in the ACC. Miami and Louisville already standing at 3. All right? So we told you about kind of where things go with those guys. Carolina's 2-0. Virginia is 2-1, the home loss to Clemson. Tigers have not played since beating Virginia and Charlottesville. And ironically, they're going to play Wednesday night. Clemson has won 4 straight to go to 9-4. Florida State, level par after the win in Raleigh. Notre Dame is 1-1. Syracuse lost the other night. They're 1-1. BC now 1-1. Wake, who started off 1-0, has lost 2 straight league games at Louisville, at Miami. And the Deacons are home to Florida State tomorrow night. Then you get Virginia Tech, NC State, Georgia Tech, and Pittsburgh still looking for their first league win. So what surprises you there in the first little step or two in conference play?
Well, Miami has got to be the answer. I mean, Wake Forest was a great story, but, you know, losing on the road at Louisville and losing on the road at Miami, there are going to be a lot of folks that maybe fall into that category. Like I said, you've got to be able to hold serve. I think Syracuse losing at home to Virginia, a Virginia team that just simply cannot score, but they did, you know, against the Cuse. That surprised me this weekend. But I keep looking for teams that can figure out a way to separate. NC State struggling surprises me. They've got a lot of pieces that I like. I know Manny Bates' injury has really put them in a tough spot, but Sebron's been fantastic. Right. Helms can go off. They've got other guys who can score. Losing at home to Florida State, those are games you just can't lose, man. This league, given the lack of non-conference wins, Wes, you've got to win your home games in league play. I mean, that is a must. That's a priority for everybody on that list. And so when you give one away at home, you better steal a couple on the road somewhere, somehow.
I tell you what, we get the 9 o'clock hour. We'll show you the next two nights of games. Tuesday night, Wednesday night. It is a full slate now. And remember, we still got some making up to do at some point. Yeah, well, that's fair, true. We hope it's a full slate. But you start to see you got four games tomorrow night. You've got three games on Wednesday night before you get a busy weekend underway. So, I mean, there's all sorts of little things here to come into play. But nonetheless, we're off and running here, and you fall behind. You know, we saw this happen in the old nine-team format pack and early in the 12-team ACC race. You fall behind 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, then all of a sudden, tough times set in because nobody's given up, right? And beyond Duke, and to your point at the top of the show, beyond Duke right now, you got a lot of guys that are capable of beating anybody. That's the thing. You got a lot of teams that are capable of going and getting it if you're not careful. So you can get back in it, but you can also walk off from it early if you're not careful.
Well, you just can't lose at home. I mean, some of these schedules, especially with the cancellations, you may get a bad break and have to open up with three on the road or four of your next five on the road. That's hard. But, you know, at the end of the day, you hope you can get 20 conference games in, and that all balances out. But you start giving away home games, you just cannot do that. So teams like NC State this weekend, Syracuse this weekend, those are games that, man, you sit there and you go, man, we got to get somebody on the road. Maybe two, because it's going to be such a tight battle this side of Durham. So going to be fun, going to be interesting. But right now, if you're a Miami fan, yeah, they all been at home, but they all been W's, and that counts. So that's Jim Larranaga's guy's off to a great start. Right.
No question about that. We will chronicle the other two ball games from over the weekend in conference play. Florida State a win in Raleigh and Virginia a win at the Dome on Saturday. Plus, we'll dive into some thrillers yesterday on the ladies' card in the ACC. We'll do it next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, it's the year 2022. For people that still write checks, yes. Be sure you don't screw that up. There's a New Year's resolution for you. We're still looking for some of those.
You still write the checks. We know that. You still write checks.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm old school.
I know.
I finally committed to direct deposit a couple years ago, and that still makes me a little uncomfortable. I want to feel it. I want to touch it. I want to see it. I'm tired of people in Czechoslovakia getting a hold of my credit card and spending stuff on exotic furs and
petroleum. Come on now. Come on. All right. Let's dive into two more men's games we didn't get covered in that segment a moment ago. And then we're going to take you to what was an exciting weekend on the women's side. Florida State won in Raleigh, 83-81. All these are tight fits. It's Florida State's first game in more than 2 weeks, longest layoff since the mid-50s. Malik Osborne, who will join us, by the way, coming up about 9:30, had 19 points in the second, or 12 of his 19 in the second half. Cameron Fletcher, 14. Matthew Cleveland, Caleb Mills, 13 each for the Noles. Darion Sebron, holy smokes. It's like, Pack, it's unbelievable what this guy's doing, right? But unfortunately, they don't have anything to show for it at the end. That's the frustrating part, I'm sure, for Kevin Keats.
Well, what's frustrating is you're at home, you got to win. I'm not going to keep emphasizing this for months and months now, because that is going to be the key when you start talking about, hey, are we an NCAA tournament team? And right now, NC State is leaking oil, Wes. I mean, Sebron is worth the price of admission every single night. And like you said, he kind of looks like the plastic man. He just weaves and ebbs and scores. He's just a blast. And NC State's got pieces that are fun to watch. The problem is they haven't been able to close. And, you know, whether it be Wright State, Florida State, you go figure. Kevin Keats has got to figure that out ASAP, because the Pack's been heading down the wrong path here for about the last 2-3 weeks.
Well, and a nice recovery by Florida State, Pack, because a couple of weeks ago you were concerned about the Noles, right?
Well, they're young. And, you know, when Leonard Hamilton joined us, he talked about this team is learning how to play. He's going to play 75 guys on his bench. That's his style, and they can all play. I mean, they're talented. That's what Leonard does. And so I think they're still trying to develop what is winning basketball with this particular group. But to do it on the road,
right,
that is a huge win for Florida State. And as you pointed out, next game up at Wake Forest, and really the Deacs need to figure out a way to hold serve after a tough couple losses on the road. And Florida State's looking to steal another one on Tobacco Road. That's a really important game coming up this week.
Darion Sebron, by the way, with the big night scoring, becomes the first NC State player of the last 25 years to finish a conference game with 30 or more points on 85% shooting. The only other Wolfpack player to shoot better than 80% in a 30-point conference game over that span was T.J. Warren in 2013 when he played Florida State. Just goes to show you how spectacular Sebron has been so far for Kevin Keats. NC State made a dozen threes in the ballgame. That's not the problem. Florida State's bench, though, outscored NC State 35-9, and bench scoring is going to be a critical piece of where NC State goes, because you mentioned the Bates injury. They got to get consistent production off that bench for Kevin Keats' team to be successful.
100% accurate. And T.J. Warren, that would be a great bar bet. And tell you what, you could have given me 100 guesses, and I'd have been 0-for-100, kind of like Notre Dame in a New Year's Day Six Bowl. I would not have gotten that one right, period.
Well, when you think about it now, 25 years takes us back to about 1997, and that is after Rodney Monroe. Now, see, to me, when you start talking about NC State and spectacular single-game scoring and high-percentage shooting, you got to go back to Rodney Monroe, right? I mean, because that guy was remarkable at getting the ball to basket.
State's had some guys.
T.J. Warren was also spectacular. State's had guys.
The Pack's had some dudes that can do this. But Sebron has been awesome to watch. I mean, he is, like I said, he reminds me of like the Plastic Man. I love to watch him just drive, and he just kind of weaves through everybody. It's almost as if they're all playing Mark Packer, my feet are stuck to the floor, and he just weaves right through them and shoo, makes a play. I mean, he is a blast to watch. But the NC State better start finding some W's ASAP.
All right, Saturday night, Carrier Dome, Virginia winner, 74-69. Kihei Clark, Armon Franklin, 17 apiece. Caden Shedrick, a double-double for the Cavaliers, who look sharp in the navy blue, by the way, on the road.
Yeah, Michael.
Virginia's third straight win against the Orange Pack.
This game surprised me, I got to tell you. I think at home, if you're Syracuse, you've been watching tape of Virginia not being able to make any shots. If you watched that Virginia-Clemson game last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, and it seems like whenever it was, Virginia just didn't make a shot. Unless they went, 11 minutes without a basket, and they've just had a hard time scoring the ball. Right, and so next thing you know, if they put a 70 spot on you, well, they ate up that zone, and that surprised me. I thought Syracuse would hold serve at home. We just had Buddy Boeheim on the show last week. The stroke's getting back, but Syracuse, man, they have really gotten off to a much slower start than I anticipated.
Clark was 6 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 5 from three. Shedrick, 12 points, 11 rebounds. Jaden Gardner, by the way, some foul trouble in the night, but 15 points nonetheless in the win for Virginia, who, as we mentioned, is at Clemson tomorrow night. Tigers have not played since beating Virginia, ironically. Back on the, 22nd, I think it was. Yeah, 22nd of December. So, be interesting there. All right, let's get to the ladies here, because I got to be honest with you, yesterday was a pretty primo day for ACC women's basketball, because we had a couple of ball games that were two-point contests, and then we had a big road win for Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech, and North Carolina dominated Clemson at home. But let's start in Atlanta again with Louisville and Georgia Tech again, just like we did at the top of the show on the men's side, except this time it's the ladies, and Emily Inksler, who will be with us later in the 9 o'clock hour, gets the game winner. And Jeff Walls' team shows a little moxie, a little poise. Number three fights all the way back to win the game, Pack, in Atlanta.
Tremendous game. And then, by the way, the highlights of Haley Van Lith makes Chester very excited. He's been waiting for Haley Van Lith highlights all season long. But tremendous win. And given the fact that what happened to the number one team in the country, South Carolina, losing last week, when the polls come out, there'll be a couple ACC teams eager to see where they are big picture as far as Louisville and NC State are concerned. But going on the road, and I know Georgia Tech was down a little bit from that perspective in terms of player personnel, it's still a very, very important win. And again, we had two-pointers yesterday. The other one we'll talk about here in a second with Duke and Notre Dame. But I'm not worried about the ladies, Wes. The ladies' side in this league, loaded. I mean, 16th ranked last week, and one that wasn't is Virginia Tech, who's playing as well as anybody. Kenny Brooks is on with us, and of course they get the big win, which we'll talk about all this stuff coming up. But the ladies' side is almost the polar opposite of the men. You got 7, 8, 9 deep, all right there, top 25-ish, and it's just going to be great battles throughout. The men, you've got Mighty Duke, and then we're waiting to see what emerges on the men's side. It's really two opposite deals going on at the same time with the men and the women basketball in the ACC this particular year.
Should mention Nell Fortner's Georgia Tech roster, a little bit depleted through the protocols, only down to 7 players. In fact, 4 of them played 37 minutes or more yesterday. Nonetheless, still had an opportunity to pull the upset. They led for nearly 34 minutes in the ball game yesterday in Atlanta. On to Durham, where Kara Lawson's team gets a 2-point victory over Notre Dame. Elizabeth Balogun, 27 points, 11 of 16 from the floor. The go-ahead basket in the final minute, 4 double-figure scores yesterday for the Blue Devils. This is a nice win for number 15 Duke at home against Neil Ivey and Notre Dame.
Two really good teams. And these are the kind of games you're going to get on the women's side for the next couple months. And like I said, when you've got so many teams ranked in the top 25, all legit, and you throw Virginia Tech in there that will be ranked, I assume they're going to be ranked this week. Wes, these battles are going to be tremendous. And I expect nothing but tight games on the ladies' side for, like I said, for the entire regular season. And the funny thing is, when you look at the standings with the ladies, there's almost no middle class. You've got like 7 or 8 really good teams.
Right.
That are sitting at the top. And then the bottom half of the league, it's almost as if nobody can get a win. I mean, look at the standings. It's early, but look at all the numbers beside the teams on the left-hand side of the column. North Carolina State, Virginia Tech is going to be ranked this week. Louisville, Notre Dame, Duke, Georgia Tech. I mean, those are all top 20 teams for crying out loud. And Wake's really talented. Syracuse has gotten off to a relatively good start. But, man, there are going to be some teams taking some L's. And that whole right side still looking for a W, for crying out loud. It's kind of weird. Almost no middle class when it comes to the ladies.
I agree with you. Going to be interesting to watch. Virginia Tech, you saw, went to 3-0. They beat Wake Forest by 13 in Winston-Salem. Liz Kittley, double-double, 13 points, 18 rebounds. And in Chapel Hill, North Carolina beat Clemson 81-62. Deja Kelly, a career-high 31 with 5 threes. In the win for Courtney Banghart's team as the beat goes on for the Tar Heels.
Still undefeated. And, oh, by the way, as if they don't need a reason to get all fired up anyhow, guess what? NC State, North Carolina, women's basketball. You don't think they will be fired up on Tobacco Road when the undefeated Heels and the maybe, who knows, top 3, top 4th ranked in the country, NC State Wolfpack get together? That will be a big deal.
There you go.
The lady, I'm telling you. The men and the women are so polar opposite in this league where, like I just said, there's no middle class with the ladies. You're either in the penthouse or trying to figure out how to win a game. And the flip side with the men, you've got Big Bad Mighty Duke, and then everybody else is trying to figure out, well, who are we? Who's going to be good out of this group? And you can't get more opposite in anywhere in the country than you do in the ACC when it comes to basketball right now and the difference between the men and the women.
Well, speaking of NC State, when we come back, the athletics director of the Wolfpack, Boo Cargan, joined us on Friday. We will talk with him about the events in San Diego, what it means to his football team then, and what it will mean in the future when we continue. Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget, tomorrow night on ACC Network, a basketball doubleheader starts at 7, NC State and Virginia Tech. And then Corey Alexander and I join you with Duke at number two in the country, and Georgia Tech, presented by GEICO. 9 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Be good to see Duke. Be good to see Duke playing again, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. More on that tomorrow's show. We visited with Boo Corrigan here the other day in Friday's Packer and Durham program. A very insightful visit about the comings and goings, if you will, in San Diego surrounding the San Diego Credit Union Holiday Bowl featuring the Wolfpack and Bruins of UCLA. But as we started, it's almost uncanny that things like this just kind of keep happening to NC State.
Evidently, we're built to deal with it. You know, I mean, that's kind of how I look at it at this point. It was incredibly disappointing and frustrating and angry and, you know, about every show of emotion you could have coming into this to be in a situation where you find out on Twitter and your players find out before you do, before you actually talk to someone is really kind of left a mark. But, you know, again, none of it does anything to take away from the season we had. In the leadership we have in our program, both on the field and in the coaching staff. And, you know, now we look forward to 2022.
Boo, that's where I kind of wanted to go in some respect. You cannot let the last stanza impact the long journey, right? I mean, you just can't. The schedule's too long, the command is too long, the journey's too long to have the last kind of turn define the way things went, right? I mean, you almost have to remind yourself of that, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, when Mark Neville and the Redcoats come into our team room and present us with the Holiday Bowl championship trophy, it meant something. It did. It truly did. And we mean that as our 10th win. And it put a little bit of a finishing touch on it. There'll be a hole for a while, right? But again, go backwards. Yeah. Think about the Clemson game. Think about going down to Tallahassee. Think about the game against Carolina. You know, and think about all the goodness that occurred this year and going undefeated at home for the first time in 30 plus years, right? I mean, there's so many positives and so many of these young men are coming back, you know, to be a part of it that I really believe speaks to our culture that we have in the program and in the department. So it's, again, it's a disappointing time, but it's also a very, very exciting time.
Take us back a little bit. When you get word, especially the way you got word, that UCLA was a no-go, how crazy was it? How many teams did you have a chance to talk to? Did you really get a sense, man, we were close to actually having a game? So take us backwards a little bit to San Diego and how that all played out.
Well, first of all, Pat, you know, we always like to stay calm in the seat, right? So we're not going to go running around freaking out, but – you know, you kind of go through the natural list of the people that had just been canceled, right, and where they were in their ability to come back to play us. And what we found very quickly is those teams that had been canceled on the 23rd or 24th had already gone home, let their teams go home. In some cases, there were coaching changes, so staff had been released from where they were. Other instances, there was COVID concerns coming back. And again, the more you start looking at it, and then you get down to the next list of the 5-7 teams and you're calling them and it's, you know, well, we haven't been together since or haven't played since November 25th. I think the frustration that we really had with everything going into this is had we known 24 hours, certainly 48 hours, really felt good about our opportunity to get a replacement team. But by the time we found out on the day of the game, it was just, you know, calling everyone you know, getting phone numbers, text to you, you know, following up on those right away. The ACC was great. Michael Strickland did a really nice job for us, as well as Jimmy Phillips. I alluded to Mark Neville and the bowl, and they're looking for someone. Yeah. And, you know, then you've got this window with Fox, and when can the game be on? And, you know, there's so many different factors. So really what you're trying to do is you're throwing it out there line after line after line after line after line and hoping someone will bite.
Boo, I want to go back to the whole – I mean, look, this is a relationship business. It has been for all of us in our careers, and it is, and it continues to be. You know Martin Jarman. I mean, we know Martin Jarman. He was at Boston College. He'd been at UCLA about 2 years. How does it ever develop to a point where there's not a lot of knowledge of where their situation is? Because we had two teams in the ACC that never left campus because we had knowledge just as people that cover the league about their particular situation. How does that not happen? I'm just curious. Do you know?
You know what, Wes, I wish I could tell you. I really do. And that's a disappointment of the whole thing, right? I mean, there's the anger of you got to be kidding me, right? You know, and then there's the professional disappointment. Of how are we finding this out now? How do we find out? First inkling we get is via Twitter. And there's a drag time between when I find out at 12:05, 12:06 Pacific time and being able to meet with the team a little bit before 1 o'clock with Coach Dorn and telling them and then doing media and doing all these things. You know, it's, I don't know. That's the part that concerns me. It worries me. It really does. That if we end up in that state where we're not communicating better, where we're not treating each other better, the entire enterprise gives me concern.
All right. I want to compliment you, and I have no idea what you said to that team. But when Isaiah Moore takes to social media and thanks you for speaking to that team, and no matter what you – I mean, whatever you said must have had a major impact with the way the team processed that whole event the other day. Can you share with us some of what you said to that team?
Hey, they're my guys, right? You know, they are, and it's my honor to be the AD at NC State, and I want them to know that. And I want them to know that I love them and that I appreciate them. And, you know, we're all in this together. And I think they know that from our standpoint and that we're going to do everything we can for them. Great young man, Grant Gibson, Devin Leary, all of them kind of come up to you and they give you a hug and they know that you're in. And, you know, beyond that, you know, just some other things. But yeah, I think that's, I don't think that's a one day thing. At least I hope it's not. I hope they know that I've been with them for a couple of years, just as we have all of our athletes as we go through this.
Man, great stuff with Boo Cargan. Our thanks to him for being a part of the show on Friday.
Exciting times for NC State football in 22. I think if you're a Wolfpack fan, yeah, you're bummed out about the Holiday Bowl, but you know what? 22's got a chance to really be good for the Pack.
All right, when we come back, Monday staple, best and worst of the weekend. Darion Sebron, I think, makes the list. Oh, you know Wake Forest does. Packer and Durham's Monday rolls on next on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.